stripping, weather stripping, I think they call it, or door insulation or what have you, and it goes to the bottom of the door and stops the draft. Yeah, that's a standard thing. It's not a big deal. See, if you don't have one or if it's worn out, you just replace it. I think it fits a standard door opening. What is that, 36 inches? 3 feet, something like that. I'm not sure exactly the width. But if it's, even if it's too wide, you can cut it down. So it's only a couple of dollars. And saves using up all your clothing. See, you can save your pants and jacket and everything else and use it for something else.
And the one that the brush lasts longer.
Yes, I know. The Home Depot. Let that other station go in. Go ahead, other station caller. But you're right, Home Depot, and there's a few other things over there also. I gotta pick up. I got a material list ready. And see what's going on.
Well, I didn't hear anybody else except for that station that said something. I'm not sure what. Is there somebody who wants to join us? WHCDO.
KD2INX. I just happened to hear, I happen to be passenger vans that I heard you guys. The one that looks like a brush that lasts the longest, copy.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's got the bristles on the bottom of it. I've seen those. And, yeah, that's another thing. Yeah, they sell all that kind of stuff. Home Depot. What's the call there again? I want to write it down. Can you give it to me phonetically?
Sure. It's Kilo Delta 2, India November X-ray out in West Hampton.
Okay, name is Sandy over here, WHCDO. Very good. So join in. We're just having a light QSO while I watch the Giant game in the background. So I'm sort of multitasking. Talking to Joe. KC2TZG out of Gravesend, Brooklyn. Go ahead, Joe.
Hanging in there, can't complain. Getting ready to go on the bus pretty soon. Once I get on the bus, then we'll be alright. So I'm debating whether I should go back doing electrical work right now, or should I get ready to go on the bus. So it's like, I'm waiting for the scale.
I don't know who you gave it to, so I'll go ahead. At the other station in West Hampton, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just hanging out, no problem. Go ahead with your conversation, I just wanted to pipe in, copy.
Okay, now is this Robert I'm speaking to?
Yes, it is.
Okay, yeah, I just looked you up on QRZ, so I know who I'm talking to. Very good. I bet you got more snow out there than we got here, because we're in Nassau County, sort of on the west side. Suffolk County got it the worst. Well, got more snow, and I think even Montauk, the further east you went, you got more snow. I think what the news reported, you had close to a foot, if I'm not mistaken. So you might let me know in the next go-around. And, okay, Joe, so I guess you're debating what to do. You want to take a bus ride or you want to do electrical work? Well, that's a... You could do both, maybe at the same time. Yeah, Joe.
You can try another station call on the next turnaround. I know, that's what I was explaining to my mom. You know, I could go on the bus and during the midday, just, well, go check up on the electrical jobs and do a few jobs here and there, side jobs. We'll see what happens.
Hey, don't forget to turn it to somebody, so we'll keep it in order. I'll give it to Robert. Go ahead.
Good morning, W2HO.
That you assess the situation and the job and the materials, and then you go to Home Depot. Don't go half, and then they got to go back again.
All right, I heard W2HL, Howard. Hello to you. Come on in. Join the crowd. And talking to Joe and Robert, whose calls they'll give. So take it, Howard, give it back to, give it to Joe next. He gets it.
Good evening, guys. Well, good afternoon. Evening don't start until 6 o'clock. According to what? Ethics? According to protocol? I don't know. Hello, Joe. My name is Howie and Robert. I'm mobile right now in Cedarhurst. And you mentioned that you do electrical work. Are you in Local 3? My father was in Local 3. He's a 55-year member. I need some electrical work at my house. I live in Bell Harbor. You're not too far away from me. Back to you.
I'm very close. I'm up in Copeg.
You said you're in Gravesend.
I'm in Gravesend, and I'm out in Long Island. I'm either or.
Oh, where are you right now? Or are you in two places at the same time?
No, I'm out in Brooklyn, in Gravesend, over at Mom's house, having dinner with her. And tomorrow I got a lot of things to do. And Tuesday I'll be heading back out to the island. And what else? I got a few other things I got to do. I might be out in the island until Friday, but commuting back and forth either every day or every other day. It all depends.
You have email on your call sign?
I have an email address. It's Kilo Charlie 2, Tango Zulu Golf, 8336@gmail.com.
Do you have that listed on QRZ?
I don't know if it's listed on QRZ. You can double check that. I think it is. I'm not too sure. I'll double check myself. But I know I had it listed. I had everything listed. I had me and Mom listed from ARRL all the way down to Echo Link, the Aries. Every ham thing you could imagine, we signed up for and we paid for. $1, $2, $1 here, $1 there. We paid for everything. And I even paid for a lifetime membership on the ARRL between her and I.
Oh, okay. Oh, so your mom is a ham?
All hams over here. A bunch of ham and bologna. Bologna and ham. I don't want to leave CDL out also, because I know we have to give it the next rotation. Sorry about for messing up the rotation there. I'm trying to break free.
CEO of mine, Andy talks too much anyway. No, I'm only kidding, Andy. Boy, we got a station out in West Hampton. He must be coming through the 375 link. How are you, Andy? I just had to go for the joke. Andy's a great asset to the club and hams. Very fine amateur. We're all lucky to have him. And, I'm going to give you an email there. If you go on QRZ and use it, it says right under your call sign, use the mouse, you can put your email in there. Okay, I think KC2TZG8336@gmail.com. I got it. Very good. So, Andy, how are you? Hope everybody got through the snow. I was driving through it yesterday. I wonder how I'm coming in through Peter. I wanted to give you a call on the landline later, Andy. WA2CDO in the group, W2HO.
Okay, very good, Howard. Thanks. WA2CDO. Yeah, we got Robert out in West Hampton. I'll give it to him next. And I just looked up Joe's call. I don't see an email address on QRZ for him, so he might not have set it up. But I think he said his mom is a ham. I don't know his mother's call. Maybe she's got an email address if you want to, you know, go that route, possibly. All right, I'm going to finish up here because I'm actually multitasking. And good hearing you. I was out today at HLU and it was good. At least the weather cooperated where it wasn't snowing, except for the cold, of course. But now it's going to get better, I think, towards the middle of the week. So that'll be a good thing. I've seen enough snow. Now I want it to melt, and that's it. Although I don't think it's going to happen. Robert, back to you, and you can give it back to Joe when you're done. KD2INX, WA2CDL.
Yeah, Roger. We got between a foot and 14 inches of snow out here. That's why I couldn't make it to HRU today. But the roads are bad. You know, well, they were bad. Not no more. But it's been an event. Let's put it this way: the dog got snowballed 3 times, and he didn't even want it. But anyway, yep. Okay. I think it was John is next.
Take it to Howie. W2HL. Let me see if I got it. Yes, so. Yeah, Robert. This is Howie. Mobile in Oceanside. Enos says hello to everybody. And Andy, I wonder if I can give you a landline later. And I don't think this is going to be the last of snow. We're going to have, I predict we're going to have a couple of big ones. It's still early in January. Got to get through January. February. My goodness. This is not the last of the snow. I hope it is, but time will tell. So 73's from this end, too. And nice talking to you guys. Over to you, Joe. KC2TZG, W2HL.
Hey, how are you guys? Hey, listen, I just went to look up the QRZ, and I can't be found in there. This is like looking for my high school records again. That got burnt, my military records got burnt. Everything got burnt ever since I came out of the hospital after having a heart attack. So, after I came out of the hospital having a heart attack, this is how my records get burnt. You know what? I'm off the air. KC2TZG. Goodbye.
Joe, you call KC. Is KC2 Tango Zulu Golf? Is that it?
All right, well, I guess he doesn't have a license. What he said, which doesn't make any sense, of course, but you want to call me on the phone, Howard?
Yeah, you looked him up. He has no clue. He's not in the record book.
No, he's licensed, but he can't find his email address. So for some reason, he thinks that he's not licensed or whatever. So whatever it is. Do you have my phone number? Because I have yours.
Yes, I do. I'll give you a call a little bit later.
All right, call me in my cell. I think you have that one. And also, let me just, hold on a second because I forgot the name all of a sudden. Robert, let me just say, Robert, okay on the snow that you got out there. That's 14 inches, and I can understand why you didn't make HLU. Yeah, unfortunately, that's what happened with the snow, and I think a lot of people that wanted to go did not due to that. All right, I signed before when I was listening, so I'm going to sign again. Call me when you want on my cell, Howard, and, or Howie, rather. And I'll be there because I always have my cell with me.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do it. Okay, 73 for now, W2HL. 73, Robert.
73, see ya. Take care. Bye-bye. KD2INX, we're clear.
70 feet to both, WHCDO.
This is Kilo Charlie 2, Tango Zulu Golf, out on frequency. Signing off.
W2HL, WA2CDL, you still there?
K2UPS, KD2IXP.
Hello, Joe, WA2CDL. I did not hear. Rich, KTUPS on. So I'm saying hello to you anyway. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Tired of this snow, though. I'm done with it.
It's one of those things you get tired of pretty quick. You see a little bit of snow, and that's it. Yep. Well, we'll get through this month and next month, and then hopefully we won't see any snow after that. We'll see. We'll see what this winter brings. It's supposed to be a wetter, from what I heard, wet but warmer. So, if it's raining more than snowing, I don't mind.
I don't mind the rain, but I just don't like the snow. I hate the way people drive in it. They act like it's nuclear fallout.
You gotta be careful on the roads, for sure. Alright, I heard you talking to Robert, by the way. I haven't heard him in a long time. So I guess he must be back. I gather he was away.
He was briefly. Had some problems with his new car. He's having some problems with his new car. He's got to wait for it to be fixed.
Is that the car he was talking about previously, a couple of months ago, that he got?
Yeah, he was talking about the, what is it, the Tesla, yeah. That's the one he's having trouble with.
Okay, I hope it's not too serious. That's a pretty expensive car. And, of course, it's pretty new. I don't see too many on the road.
No, I think he had it 2 days when a deer ran into it.
Did you say a deer ran into it?
A deer, you know, like Bambi?
Yeah, okay, well, that's really something. 2 days? And he must have been upstate. Did this happen here?
Happened in New Jersey.
Yeah, wow. Okay, and after 2 days. Yeah, I know the deer population there is pretty big. I've seen deer near where I work in Jersey. I'm, you know, hanging out on people's front lawns and other places, so not really surprising. But I guess it must have caused some real damage to the car.
Well, it's an expensive car with an aluminum body. So, you know, any damage to it takes a great deal of repair. They gotta get the parts shipped from California and, you know, it's gotta be repaired.
I'm curious, is the car still drivable?
I can't answer that. I have no idea.
Okay. I guess depending on what part of the car the deer hits. Wow. Yeah, it's not unusual. That's why they have these deer crossing signs. So you'll, you know, be on the lookout. But sometimes these deer, they just dart out into the street, and you don't have time to avoid them.
Yeah, most of the deer ignore those signs anyway and cross wherever the hell they want.
Yeah, that's the problem. I think they should put a special crossing area for deer with the lines and maybe even a, you know, a traffic, a signal light, so the deer will know when it's, you know, when it's red, they don't cross, and when it goes green, they cross. Yeah. So, all right. That's too bad because he just got the, I guess he just got the car. Wow. I think I saw one Tesla on the road. This was months ago. I just happened to be parked at a Tesla car pulled up next to me, and I didn't know what kind of car it was because I didn't recognize it. And then the guy, I asked the guy, and he told me it was a Tesla, and he showed me the dashboard. It was kind of interesting. It had like a digital dashboard.
Yeah, most of the Teslas are black. That's their standard color. And if you want the white color, you gotta pay extra for it.
Wow. Okay. All right. We'll have to hear what happened. So, yeah, that's about it. I had the HRU this morning, so we went to that, got up early, and didn't want to get up and leave the nice warm house and go into the freezing cold. But we did it, warmed up the car and got out. So, it turned out to be okay.
They have a lot of people show up?
I left around 11. People started coming in around that time, I guess mainly due to the fact that they had to brush off their cars and driveways and everything else before they left. So in the morning, it was light, although we had 10 people in the class, the forum that we lectured, and I was surprised. 10 was not bad, considering, but the turnout in the morning was light. And seemed to have gotten a little bit better as I was leaving. So, don't know the total numbers, but I'm sure they're down because of the weather. It's yeah, it's too bad. They have it this time of year because it's convenient, but you got to deal with the elements. That's the problem. And we really haven't had good luck weather-wise these past few years. We've either had snow, rain, sleet, and other things. I don't think the weather was ever warm, like in the 40s or 50s. Like it's going to be in a few days. I expect the temperatures to go back up by the middle of the week.
I went to the HRU during the summer and or spring. It wasn't bad, but you know, it wasn't all that great chicks. You know, I've gotten a lot more education and assistance from hams, people I know, who've just been very generous with their time and talents than I did at HRU. But I'm glad to say that I went once.
You confuse me. There's only one HRU that I know about, and it's always in January. You said something about in the spring? As far as I know, there isn't any.
Yeah, there was one during the warmer weather. I guess maybe a little over a year ago, but it was warm. It was shirt sleeve weather.
Where was it located?
At the college on Stewart.
Okay, what on, I didn't get the first part. Something on Stewart Avenue?
The college on Stewart Avenue, where they always hold the HRU. That's where they held the one last spring, I think it was.
Okay, I think you're getting confused between HRU and the ham flea market, because Limark has their outdoor flea market in the spring at Briarcliff College. That's what you mentioned, and that was in June. I think it was in June, if I'm not mistaken. That's when they usually have it. I know it was a very windy day that day. But that's not HRU. That's not Ham Radio University. That's the Limark Ham Fair. That's probably what you're talking about.
Well, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Ham Radio University at Briarcliff College on Stewart Avenue in Bethpage. They held it. It was during the nice weather.
Yeah, the last HRU was last year. They do it once a year in January. Because, I myself give one of the lectures. So it's the only one that I know about, anyway. So I think you're thinking of something else. There's no other that I know about, anyway, to my knowledge. That's held in the spring. You said spring, so... The Limark Ham Fair is in the spring. But they do give quite a few forums, lectures, if you look at the brochure. It's actually on the web. They have a website. You can look it up and see what they give. It is interesting. All right. So, very good. Well, the weekend is over and I got to go back to work tomorrow.
It was definitely a ham radio university. It was definitely at Briarcliff College. It was definitely on Stewart Avenue in Bethpage. And it was definitely short sleeve weather.
Okay, I must have missed it. I didn't know anything about that one. All right. I'm actually looking at the schedule from this year, from today, and they had quite a few forums. Starting at basically 9 o'clock, going to 3:30. So, and then they had a guest speaker also, a keynote speaker. So I'm sure it got more crowded towards the afternoon because I left after we did our forum, then I stayed for a little while, then I left so I can get back home and finish shoveling the driveway and, you know, the walkway and everything else. So I got that out of the way. All right, that's it. I'm going to go, and I'll talk to you, Joe. Sorry to hear about Robert's car. But I guess when I hear them, I'll find out. See you later, WHCDL.
Yeah, it was in January last year. It was raining, and it was definitely shirt sleeve weather.
Okay. But yeah, January is when it was. That's right. At Stewart Avenue. Yeah, we did have a lot of rain that day. That's what I remember.
I know, because I remember it vividly, because I picked up Todd from the Hicksville train station and drove him over there. And then I drove him home to Manhattan.
Right. Yeah, I know. I think he wanted to go. Yep. Okay, good. All right, I'll talk to you again.
All right, 7-3. Stay warm. KD2IXP clear.
You too. Stay warm also. WHCDL. HKMB, that would give you 50, I think.
Net tonight at 8 o'clock, W2VL repeater system.
Considering the weather, we had a very good turnout. I did just put on the PL-259 onto that piece, long piece of cable that Jerry gave me. Guess the one had gotten pulled off the end of it, so that's fixed.
It's funny, I had a piece of 214, and I must have cut a couple of pieces of that, and maybe I only had a small section. I'm not sure who even gave it to me. And I was surprised that I couldn't get it into the DX cutter. It's just, I could not push it in there. But apparently it's supposed to be double shielded.
Yeah, you know, all RG8 style cable isn't created exactly alike. Single shielded is that 0.045 ID, and anything else is a crapshoot.
It is pretty funny. This case again, it is pretty funny because most of them did work, but just at 214, I would have had to cut with one of the hand cutters.
But it's also good. I mean, I had a fair amount of tools to put out on the tables this year. We actually had three things for them to cut with, and maybe if we really run another workshop next year, we'll get another set. And I forgot the knives. That was the worst part of it. I wanted them to be cutting cable with the knives, and I'm not even sure where they are. I think I was so sure I put them in there. That was disturbing, but they're somewhere in the shack. I lost my voice. They're somewhere here in the shack.
Now, one thing is, if you do it next year, you don't cut the insulation using the pipe cutter.
Yeah, it seems to crush both parts of it, but, you know, the first part of what I was trying to do was to have them work with tools that they would normally use in the house, because most of the people aren't going to go out and buy an expensive cutter. And so that really was the key there. And then once they do it, once they experiment with it, then they can decide whatever they want to do. But that's where I fell down by not bringing in the box cutters.
All right. Learn from your mistakes. Come around next year, we'll see what we do.
Yep, we'll definitely give you more time to do your stuff. Okay, anyway, let me clear. Tech night will be starting in a couple of minutes. This is KGKNB.
All right, take care, W2OSR.
Net tonight at 8 o'clock. Welcome to the W2VL repeater. Net time.
Good evening, you guys. I'm K2 Romeo India Whiskey. My name is Dick. And as we've done for 34 years, I think it is, 1982 until now, I think it's 34 years, we run the TechNet, which is, we believe, one of the longest running nets on ham radio as far as total number of hours and total number of years under essentially one leadership. This will be TechNet number 1634 of the series that began September of 1982. Main purpose for the TechNet is education. Curious radio amateurs gather and teach each other about their radio equipment. How does it work? How to make it work better? And if it's not working well, how to troubleshoot it? The more curious amateur radio operators are not afraid to open up the cover, measure the power supplies, and troubleshoot. Let me drop. They usually don't worry about violating the warranty because they've opened up the cover. There's a good reason to do that, of course. And some of the modern-day solid-state equipment is relatively safe. The older equipment with tubes and 800 and 1200 volt power supplies, yeah, you have to be careful. But the modern equipment, you can get away with quite a few of the procedures that used to be not so safe. The method that we operate the TechNet is that in the beginning, people give us their call letters and their name because they do have a question or a comment. You need not to sign in to say that you're listening. After 34 years, we believe somebody is listening. That doesn't have to be proven anymore. Each time we come back to somebody, try to remember to listen for the four beeps, as you're about to hear. That's to make sure that everything gets reset so that the people who are out there in the hinterlands listening to us by way of IRLP, Echo Link, and so on, and internet techniques, so that all of that gets reset so that they can continue to listen to the net. If you jump the gun and don't wait for the four beeps, you're probably going to get timed out, and the system will also become upset so that some of the people out there don't hear things anymore. There was a ham radio university today, and hopefully some of you guys will be able to tell us what you saw and what you liked, what you think should be improved, and I think this was the 11th or the 12th annual of Ham Radio University. When we get to the space report tonight, there was an interesting item that was on the 60 Minutes program that just ended a few minutes ago, that maybe Paul will be telling us about a brand new planet, a brand new Planet 9 to replace Pluto, if you know what I mean. 50 billion miles away. What a record. Let me drop. So at this time, we're going to take check-ins. If you do have a question or a comment for the net, you're going to give me your call letters and your name at this time. A typical sign-in might sound like this, WS2N, Paul, and yes. So if you got a question or a comment, give me your call letters and name right now. Wait for the beeps, K2RAW.
N2HUH. Name is Andy. Yes, with a question. November 2, Hotel, Uniform Hotel.
T2, Queen, Yankee, Whiskey. The name here is Joe, and yes.
So far we've got Rich, Andy, and Joe. And last week, WA2RYY signed in, but we didn't get a chance to get back to him. So as soon as Joe calls in, we'll move him up on the list. Anyone else to check in? Because you do have a question or a comment, give me a call. That is right now. K2RYY listening.
Is this radio working? WA2RYY. Joe. Yes.
Yes, radio is working very well. And, okay, Joe's on the list. That's Joe number, it's really Joe number one. Joe number two is QIW. All right, one last call. Anyone else to check in because you do have a question or a comment? Give me your call letters right now.
82FIU comment. And I've been waiting for the beats, but I comment on technical.
I think it was Kilo Delta 2FIU. And you didn't give us your name, sir.
Thank you, Dick. This is George, KD2FIU. Thank you.
Yeah. And I double with George, WS2N with the space report. Good evening, Dick.
And you already checked in now, Paul. I used you as an example of a guy properly signing in, if you know what I mean. Was there one more person signing in? Give me your call letters and name right now, after the beeps.
Yeah, and I heard that, Dick. And I also saw that same report on 60 Minutes.
And boy, those guys sound positive. But when you look at their diagram and you look at their equations, apparently they've got about five or six celestial objects that all are showing a gravity correlation to the position where Planet 9, 10 times the size of the Earth, probably is located. Okay. Joe is a carryover from last week, and so therefore he's number one on the runway. So B2RYY. K2RIW. Go ahead, Joe.
Very good. Good evening, Dick. I've been reading about very low-frequency antenna systems used for subcommunications. One particular one I'm looking at right now, looking at a picture of it, is a Trideco Antenna Tower Array. You know much about these? Because you said, if you can make anything resonant, you can make it radiate. This thing's about 1.2 miles in diameter. Communicates subs at 24 kilohertz with a power of 1.8 megawatts.
Yeah, 1.8 megawatts. Some number of kilohertz. Run that by again. And what is the purpose of that particular transmitter, Joe? Go ahead.
The purpose of the transmitter is to communicate with submarines. This is the one particular station there. I have an illustration of it. I have seen this thing directly when I was up in Maine with you, like many, many years ago, visiting a friend. I didn't know what it was then, but now I know what it is. It's an antenna array in Cutler, Maine, which is east of Bar Harbor. What are they saying in the picture here? About 1.2 miles in diameter, in the case of submerged subs at 24 kilohertz at a power of 1.8 megawatts. But they explain how this thing works. It's some sort of antenna array on top of this thing, which makes it look like it's got a capacitor top hat, where they have one simple rating on the antenna in the middle, and the rest is like a network of wires above it that act like a capacitive type of element to the thing. But they said because this thing is very short, it's very, very inefficient, and they seem to contradict what you said previously about making an antenna resonant and radiate very well. Back to you.
Yeah, there's a couple of catches. First of all, in order to really radiate, you've got to resonate. It's almost impossible to do any substantial amount of radiation with an antenna that is truly non-resonant. You can take a 50-ohm quarter-watt resistor, hang it on the end of your RG8 coax cable, and because a receiver is so darn sensitive, it can receive a fraction of a microvolt. Even though that's the world's most inefficient antenna, it might have a gain of minus 40 decibels. In other words, it's a leaky dummy load. It is radiating. Broadband is all hell. But because it's got minus 40 dB of gain, you could say that almost all the power you pour into it goes into heating that resistor. Very little of it gets radiated into space. That's the least efficient antenna I can think of, with the exception of a bird dummy load, which is better shielded, and therefore it does less radiating. So it could have a gain of minus 100 dB if it's got 100 dB of shielding, if you know what I mean. Let me drop. So once you take the 50-ohm resistor and put an inductor and capacitor in there somewhere so that it resonates at your frequency, all of a sudden the percentage of radiation goes sky high because the signal is bouncing back and forth between the inductor and the capacitor in the resonance phenomena. And all of those bounces are co-phased with each other. They add together, just like pushing your child on a swing. As long as you do it with the right frequency of the pushes, the swing gets larger and larger in amplitude. That's what happens with resonance. Now, so resonate first. You can radiate is an extremely good rule of thumb. It's not absolutely perfect. It makes two assumptions. Let me drop. One is that you're really resonating. Number two, that the components in the antenna have low loss if you want to have efficient radiation. And number three, the one that we usually forget about, is that there's no lossy materials nearby. In the case of an antenna operating at 24 kilohertz, by dividing that number in 300 million meters, you can figure out what the wavelength is, and I don't know, maybe the wavelength is something like 50 miles. So that antenna has a wavelength of 50 miles, and obviously the antenna itself is not sitting on a ground plane of 50 miles in diameter, so therefore in the reactive near field of that resonating antenna is a hell of a lot of dirt, Mother Earth, soil. Soil is a volumetric resistive material, lossy material. When you put a quarter wave ground plane in your backyard, you've got a... If you really want extremely high efficiency, you're going to lay down 32 ground plane radials because you're trying to make the surface of your dirt in the backyard look like a conductive surface. And any signal that leaks in between your ground plane radials and hits the dirt is going to be heating up the dirt. Let me drop it. It's going to be warming up the worms in the wintertime. They're going to be happy. But a lot of your RF energy is being turned into heat. In the case of, say, for instance, a cell phone antenna, where the tiny antenna inside, because we insist on the antenna being internal these days, is an extremely small antenna on very little real estate, but as long as it resonates, and as long as it's made out of low-loss materials, you can have nearly 100% efficiency, nearly isotropic radiation, but now you've got to be very careful. All of the other electronic circuits that are on that printed circuit board with that cell phone must be extremely well shielded because the strong radio frequency field near that resonating tiny antenna in there is coupling RF energy into all your integrated circuits and all your transistors and everything else that's nearby. Everything's got to be shielded. As long as everything is shielded so that it can't absorb the RF energy, then the signal bounces off those shields and gets radiated. So the problem with this, I think I used to call it Jim Creek. That was the one in Tennessee. Anyhow, so there's more than one installation that talks to submarines. Let me drop. A long time ago, the scientists discovered that if the frequency is low enough, the signal will penetrate seawater, and you can talk to a submarine probably 100 feet below the surface. There's a great big long wire trailing near that submarine that's acting as the antenna, I believe, sort of like a, what would you call that? N-fed Zep. N-fed Zep. The Zeppelin antenna was really an N-fed piece of wire hanging from the Zeppelin. And so there's a similar antenna you could put onto a submarine and up to something like 100 feet below the surface, even though salt water is very conductive, if the frequency is low enough, you get penetration of the radio wave. It goes into a zillion dB of attenuation, but a good sensitive receiver down there can hear it, and you can talk to that submarine anywhere in the world. So they're doing this top hat capacitor loading and all kinds of things in order to try to make the antenna resonate. Criteria number one, resonated. Criteria number two, make it low-loss materials. Criteria number three, try to stop the loss of absorbing materials nearby within a couple of wavelengths of the antenna. That's the tough one. They would love to have a ground plane up there in Maine alongside of an antenna that's multiple miles in diameter. Well, that would take an awful lot of metal in the ground, an awful lot of real estate that you'd have to own, and so on. Let me drop it. Now, along the lines of the question you're asking, Joe, I was listening to a conversation this week of a guy who was putting a dipole-like antenna in the attic of his house. And because there's a whole lot of nearby metal of the downspouts and the rain gutters, the wiring of the house, the plumbing of the house, he was positive his antenna is going to have very low efficiency because of all that nearby metal. Absolutely wrong. But I'll get into that later. Let's get back to your particular question, Joe. You now know something about what's going on, why they're doing it, and why the efficiency is low in this case, because they don't have the resources to make all the nearby ground thoroughly conductive. If they could, they could achieve an extremely high efficiency of that antenna, and they wouldn't need 1.2 megawatts. Maybe they could do it with 120 kilowatts. To B2RYY, interesting question. K2RIW, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I can see that from the illustration here, that it's pretty wide course. Here's something else that's related to the same, the rest of the article. It says antenna use for high power transmitters usually have a bandwidth of only a few tenths of hertz. And when transmitting frequency shifting usual mode, the resonant frequency of the antenna must sometimes be dynamically shifted with the modulation between the two FSK frequencies. How about that? I didn't even know they did that kind of stuff. Did you?
Yeah, when you have an antenna that has a very low percentage of radiation, as this antenna does, because it is so wavelength small, it is therefore running at an extremely high Q. The Q of that antenna might be, let me pick a number, a couple of hundred. Q is defined as one of the definitions of Q is bandwidth design, that divided into center frequency. So I can see how this antenna, the resonance of that antenna is so narrow band that you've got very little data rate. And so the message that they send is a highly encoded message. They might send the number 5, meaning that right now we're sending message number 5, and message number 5 is to go to such and such place and stay there until we talk to you again with your submarine. So it's a highly scripted situation, but because of extremely narrow bandwidths. By the way, it's hard to believe that when you look at something like the dynamic signal analyzer made by Hewlett-Packard, it's really a audio spectrum analyzer going between a 0 and 100 kilohertz. Let me drop it. And it operates by a kind of a Fourier transform technique. So you could use that 0 to 100 KC, I think now HP 8320, I'm having trouble remembering the model number of the dynamic signal analyzer. But you can select what bandwidth you want it to resolve the signals on that screen with. And you can go down to millihertz and maybe even microhertz with the bandwidth of that spectrum analyzer. So this antenna having a fraction of a hertz of bandwidth is very realistic, but as long as your message is brief enough and you've got enough time to send the message, you can send the message with an antenna that's that narrow band, Joe. to K2RYY, K2RYW. Ain't that crazy?
It is. I started, one day going on, just looking at link after link, and here's something for another day's discussion. They mentioned something else in this type of communication because what they call it, MSK, minimal shift keying, has been around since the 50s. But that can only, serve on these frequencies with so much bandwidth. They only send so much. But there's another thing they have. You can talk about this another time, or today if you want. It's called another type of which it can yield a lot more bandwidth and is much, much more secure from point-to-point communication. They call this QKD, or quantum key distribution. And I don't even know much about that at all. So they're talking about photons and things like that. So this is something you may know something about also. But I guess it's in line with the communication system they use for, one-way communications.
I think you said quantum keying distribution. That's a new one at me. The nice thing about phase shift keying is that your transmitter is on the air all the time. A very low level stage in the transmitter, way back near the oscillator, is shifting phase either 90 degrees or 180 degrees in order to make a mark in a space, a mark in space, let's call it. So the transmitter is on the air continuously, and the final stage is running class C at 1.2 megawatts of power output. If you had to amplitude modulate a 1.2 megawatt transmitter, and by the normal techniques of high-level modulation, it takes half the power, you'd have to have 600 kilowatts, 1.2 megawatts, 0.6 megawatts you'd have to have as the modulator of that final stage, and the modulator of the final stage would have to make the instantaneous power go four times higher. Full 100% amplitude modulated signal, the peak envelope power is four times the average power when you're not modulating. To do that would be very difficult. So phase shift keying is a lot nicer in that way, and the transmitter is on the air 100% of the time. You could turn the transmitter on and off, but now you're only transmitting power 50% of the time. And so that would be only 0.6 megawatts instead of 1.2 megawatts of real power transmitted. And the real power transmitted is what determines the range of the signal that's going to be sent through that very lossy seawater. Let me drop it. Now, when you said the transmitter is on 12 kilohertz, maybe you've rounded it off, maybe it's really 12.2, doesn't matter. 12 kilohertz is a wavelength of 15.53 miles. So the wavelength is 15 miles. And I'm not sure that antenna is, you'd like the antenna to be a couple of wavelengths in diameter, the antenna assembly. You'd like to have 30 miles of diameter of land with a whole bunch of ground plane radials on it if you wanted that antenna to be very high in efficiency. And even the radials themselves, the radials would be 7.5 miles long each. And how much conductivity can you have of wire 7.5 miles long? Just the length of the wire and the resistance is going to give you some loss, if you know what I mean. So they're fighting some pretty tough problems to make that transmitter work, but it's doing the job. Wesley, what's your question? N2XJN, K2RIW.
Yeah, you've touched a very interesting subject. And the question is 7.8, but also becoming to 12 kilohertz and even more. We're talking about a spectrum of Schumann frequency. We're talking about the upper one. Now the question is, what happened if we have a waveguide and we popped a hole? We make a separate structure over on the side of the wall of the waveguide, which would be Earth and ionosphere, just to treat it as a conductive surface or somehow surface that would serve as a resonance.